The near post, get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first, if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Good morning, near post fans. You're here talking on 2XX 98.3. I'm Aaron Walker, and with me today is regular Near Post troublemaker Paddy Bordier. How are you, Paddy?
Hey, how you going? I'm here with a belly full of turkey and turkey leftovers.
Yeah, wow.
Post Christmas time, and yeah, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, oh, you're looking well.
Really? Yeah. I'm not feeling well.
And also with me is someone making her Near Post debut today. A special welcome to Steph McHugh. How are you, Steph?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Filling in for the lazy Lucy Zellick, who's still on holidays.
Yes.
Very jealous.
Did we approve holidays? I'm not quite sure.
No, I don't remember approving it.
I didn't.
We'll have to ask Eamon. He's in charge of that kind of stuff. Anyway, we've got a big show coming up, as always. There's been a lot of football news. We'll talk about the Socceroos squad, which is coming up for the Asian Cup. Very exciting. Should Sydney FC sack their coach? And a couple of other issues. Of course, we'll always talk about the A-League. We always talk about the A-League on the Near Post. But until then, we'll say, if you want to, you can shoot us an email. That's done at flanagan.eamon@gmail.com, or you can catch us on the podcast, which is on www.thenearpost.blogspot.com. We're also on iTunes, or you can catch us on halftimeheroes.com.au. We're everywhere. You can't get away from us. And as of every week, we've got a show dedication. Every week the show gets dedicated to someone. Steph, you might not know this, but of course you're a regular listener, aren't you?
I'm a regular listener, absolutely. Every week without fail, boys.
And this show's dedication goes to Robbie Cruz, who a couple of short years ago was looking on the outer of the football professionalism after being thrown out of the Brisbane Roar.
Yeah.
But, after picking up a contract with Melbourne Victory, now he's been selected and may well make his debut at the Asian Cup for the Socceroos.
I know.
Big turnaround.
It's a big turnaround. He was almost like with me in Div 7 in Canberra.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's turned around and he is certainly the A-League's hottest striker right now, I think.
Good player.
And, he's made him sway in the Socceroos squad. Brilliant.
And as always, we've got a quiz. And this week's quiz, I think it's an easy one, Paddy. Mm. I'm going easy on you this week.
All right. Well, yes, it is taking us a little while to get back into things.
Okay. And so here's the question. Who has Australia drawn in their group for this month's Asian Cup? Steph, any ideas?
I think I do know this one, Aaron.
Give us one. We'll start with one.
I'll lock in A, Bahrain.
Bahrain.
Thank you, Aaron.
Whee.
Interesting one. Decent team, almost qualified for the World Cup.
Yeah. And they're a form team. They could give us a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
One of the other teams is India in there.
India. Now, India are one of those sleeping giants. I've often heard them referred to as one of football's sleeping giants. Mm. They've got a zillion people in that country.
Yeah,
surely
absolutely.
They can find 11 good soccer players. But
surely some people aren't playing cricket.
Yeah, sure. You'd hope so. But evidently not. They're right down the rankings. They've never really had a competitive squad. What's the go there?
Yeah, I don't know. And I think they recently took example from teams like Trinidad and Tobago and Jamaica and went to the English divisions to try and find some players of Indian heritage to try and sign them up. And I think Michael Chopra, who played for Newcastle and Sunderland.
Really?
Yeah, he was, let's call it, scouted, and that fell through. So, I mean, India not only have all the people in their country, which is quite a few, two or three, I think, they've actually got a few in England playing in the leagues and stuff. So they've got some decent players out there. They've just never, ever put it together.
Steph, given that India are ranked a whole lot lower than Australia, is there any chance they could be a bit of a bogey team in this group?
Oh, look, I always think there's a chance. I mean, let's have a look at the cricket, which is topical at the moment. We're supposedly world number one and we're getting beaten left, right and centre. So yeah, I'd hold up the torch for India, and so they could give it a red hot crack.
Well, I think one thing we can't do, and we've done it before, is go in all gung ho, believing we have the right to be in the final automatically.
Do you think? That's
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I do.
And so there's one more team we've been grouped with. Anyone know?
Yes, I'm going to have a guess. It's South Korea.
It is South Korea, and I reckon South Korea are the best team in Asia right now. I think they're
really
better than
Japan.
I think they're better than Japan.
Japan had such a good showing at the World Cup.
Oh, they're okay, but South Korea just have some quality players. They've got Park over at Man United. You look at their domestic clubs. They're always so strong. Sas Oganovsky's club. They're playing in Korea. I can't remember the club's name. I'm sorry, listeners. But, they just won the Asian Club Championship. Yeah, Songha Ilwon. That's it. So very strong the Koreans right now, I think.
Yeah. Look, I think so, and I think also there's the UAE is actually quite a strong team. Team we're playing and friendly.
Yeah, I think so.
On Thursday, but they Yeah, they have a very, very strong, well, certainly football pedigree, and I believe a fair go at this competition. So Australia by no means assured even a semi-finals place.
Yeah, well, quarter-finals.
Yeah.
So we'll push on with some news. We'll kick off with Socceroos star Tim Cahill, who's admitted mixed feelings about leaving struggling Premier League club Everton to come play an Asian Cup. He feels he'd like to be, a part of him would like to be back helping Everton push out of their relegation struggles.
Yeah, and hats off to Moyes for complaining, I think, longer than the Asian Cup will actually go on about this issue. I understand what Cahill's doing. He's essentially the only person scoring goals for Everton. But, you know, he's going to play for Australia.
Yeah, so.
We've also got Socceroos goalkeeper Mark Schwarzer has said he has no plans to retire after this month's Asian Cup, and he's keen to continue playing for Australia.
Schwarzer just wants to play forever. I've heard a lot of quotes like this from him. Steph, he's 38 now. How long can a keeper go for? I think he'll be 2014, he's 38 now. God, what does that make him? How's my maths? 41, 42?
Keepers can do that. Keepers can go for a fair while. They don't take as much punishment if the reflexes are still strong. I don't write him off. What else have we got in terms of keeper coverage? We've got Liverpool's second keeper.
Yeah, no, Brad Jones. Federici playing for Reading is a very good player. Steph, what do you think? A 42-year-old keeper, are we best off hanging on and hoping the reflexes hold out, or are we best off looking at a couple of newbies?
Oh, look, I mean, I think we should hold out. To be honest, he's been playing for, 17 years now, which is quite a bit longer than most of our players have already been playing. And to some extent, Aaron, look, I'd like to give him a crack at Alex Tobin's record of 87 caps for Australia.
Yeah. Nice.
And I think he'll pass that if we get through the group rounds.
Anyone know?
No. He needs 87 to surpass the record, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay, nice.
So if we
get
through the group rounds, you know, I guess...
I'm now on the bandwagon. Go Schwarzer. I want him to do it.
Yeah, I think so too.
In further news, winger Tommy Orr has been rushed into the Australia squad for the forthcoming Asian Cup after the withdrawal of utility... Richard Garcia. Utility, I like that word.
So the big question is, why wasn't he there from the start? I thought Tommy Orr was our big national hero, the next Harry Kewell. Why was he left out of the squad to begin with?
The media favourite. Is it because he doesn't play at all?
He plays a little bit. He gets a bit of time here and there. But some of the other guys, well, look at Carney. Carney's not playing for his club.
No, that's true. But Carney's done a deal where he will make every Socceroos squad for the next 20 years, regardless of what
Why
he's doing.
Why is it? The coaches just love him. I think he's terrible.
To his credit, I think he plays better for the Socceroos than he does for his club.
Scored some screaming goals, but I think... As a left back, it's not his right position. He needs to be playing up on the left wing or not at all.
Yeah.
His defensive abilities are just too frail.
So what you're saying to me is let's bring Harry Kewell back to left back where he belongs.
Look, I don't think it's a terrible option.
I quite like it. I use it as a joke. But, you know, he started there and, he could, with that cultured left foot of his, he could create some havoc with the space that he had in left back.
Okay, and moving on, we've got champions-in-waiting Brisbane Roar have extended their lead at the top of the A-League ladder to 11 points with a win over second-place Adelaide United. They did it away from home with a few key players missing. Pretty impressive win. Steph, can anyone beat them?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, perhaps with a few key players missing, it could, give us some inspiration for our Socceroos as we try and play our second string for a win.
Nice point.
Once our old boys move on.
You think Postecoglou for Socceroos coach? Is that what you're saying to me?
Oh, no, that's a big call.
Makes me uncomfortable in my seat. Brisbane Roar on fire at the moment. I think only Melbourne Victory maybe could beat them.
They're the only team to beat them this year.
Yep.
Okay, we'll move on with the news.
Also in news, Adelaide United has re-signed midfielder Fabian Barbaro to a new 2-year deal with the club.
It's Barbiero, and I think good news for Adelaide there. He's a local homegrown talent, so it's good to keep those kind of guys.
Yeah, I think it's a sensible sort of signing, and Adelaide have got a history of signing local boys. So I think
new owners this year, so they're certainly changing some new faces around the club.
It seems sound. I just hope they make a profit, and they've seemed like they've got a good model. An interesting model, you know, linking it with the, and I've forgotten the SANFL club that they... SANFL.
No, you can't ask me these things. Yeah. South Adelaide, something or other.
Generic Adelaide.
Generic Adelaide. That'll be a great
team.
Club name.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if that works, and if it does, you know, it's maybe a model some of the other teams could look at.
Okay.
But, yep, we'll see you Last season's Golden Boot winner Shane Smeltz is set to return to his old A-League club Gold Coast United as a marquee signing in the run-up to the finals.
Wow, that's huge news, because he's always been the A-League's premier striker. He obviously hasn't had much of a run over in Turkey. He signed there for reasonably big money. He wouldn't be coming back if he was doing well, so I assume he's after a bit of game time, and it's great news for Gold Coast United. They've got a great team right now, a great structure at the club. They're coached very well. They've got everything but the fans.
Everything, and they seem to have some... A more flexible salary cap than everybody else.
Yeah, that's true.
Clive Palmer. How is that? How can they afford? Well, I guess if he's marquee, Clive Palmer has very deep pockets indeed.
I thought Jason Colina was marquee.
Well, that's what I thought. So what's going on?
I don't know.
Questions here at the Near Post.
Questions?
Yeah. Clive, if you want to give us a call, we'd be very keen to hear the answers to those.
And we have defending champions Sydney FC have dragged themselves off the bottom of the A-League ladder with a 2-1 victory over Newcastle Jets, but they're still very unlikely to make the finals. In fact, I'll say it, they won't make the finals. It's a terrible defence of their championship from last year, and we'll talk a bit more about their coaching issues a bit later.
All right. But, you reckon they won't make the finals?
No, I'm almost positive they won't make the finals.
They're 9 points behind. Let's say they've turned the corner and they find last season's form. They could possibly do it. They could make it into the six.
Yeah, but there's two clubs ahead of them at least. That's Wellington and Newcastle, who are looking very good right now. And they're not even in the sixth.
Newcastle going off the boil a little bit. Colleen has even said they've lost focus. Wellington, well, they're a bit of a mixed bag. I'm not saying they will, but I'm saying there's a possibility. And then...
Okay.
The last news item for today, Adelaide United have added to their already impressive squad during the January transfer window after Costa Rican playmaker Diego Estrada agreed to a 3-year deal.
Now, on the face of it, good news for Adelaide United, but tell me this, Paddy, why would you sign another playmaker when you've got the best playmaker in the league in Marcos Flores?
Well, I have a theory about this, and I have a theory because Near Post flew me down to Adelaide for the Adelaide-Sydney game the New Post
trip. How come you're getting all the travel?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, it was on the tarmac, so I decided to take it. Flores, his legs looked heavy, to use the technical term. He really did look tired, and they played him in the whole game. Maybe he needs a bit of a rest.
A rest?
Yeah.
But do you sign a guy on a 3-year contract to give a guy a rest for a couple of games?
Yeah, well... They do need a bit of depth, and they're fighting that now. I understand the issue. Like, maybe I wonder if playmaker is just simply a term that the media's plonked upon him, and maybe he's not quite that at all.
He's a bit more of an
efficient midfielder.
I've got a different theory. I think Flores has been fantastic over this year. Everyone's raved about him. He's the best player in the league. A lot of people think so. I reckon they're going to sell him. The January transfer window just opened up. I reckon they've got a deal in the pipelines. They haven't made it public, and they've signed this guy as a replacement.
I like your theory. It's possible, because wasn't he...
I like a good conspiracy theory, Paddy.
Wasn't he linked with Major League Soccer? You know, there's been Rubino from Brisbane Roar was signed to a Middle East team recently for some quite big money.
Yes, he was, over to Qatar. They paid him $2 million over a couple of seasons. That's fantastic money.
He's no Flores. No. Like, Flores is a much better player than
He
is.
So if you play well, you're going to get noticed. And I think it's a positive thing for the A-League. They'll probably pick up $1 million transfer fee, and that's money coming into the league. That's how the league makes money. That's how the club survive.
I agree, and I think I like the way Adelaide go about signing their players. They don't sign very old players who are at the end of their game and just bringing out a couple of years. These guys that they've signed, they're relatively young. They're almost at the top of their game.
That's right.
I said relatively. And they'll be hopefully very good signings for Adelaide.
And in the last news item today, we'll leave our shores for a sec, and FIFA President Sepp Blatter has said that he wants to set up an anti-corruption committee to police FIFA and allegations of corruption after the bid fiasco. So is that an admission that there was corruption during the bid process?
Well, Sepp, my friend Sepp. Jeez.
Why else would you say
that? It sounds a little bit like that. Although there were a lot of accusations from the media, maybe it's to protect himself from the allegations, if I want to be really cynical. But don't they already have an ethics committee?
They do have an ethics committee.
Isn't that the role of the ethics committee? Pretty sure anti-corruption is part of their role to oversee. So I don't know. I kind of don't know. Maybe it's just a a knee-jerk reaction to the media coverage.
Steph, would you set up an anti-corruption committee if there was no corruption within your organisation?
Well, look, no, I wouldn't. I guess I'm agreeing with Patty. Maybe it's just something that there's been a bit of media pressure and a bit of media coverage, and perhaps it is a knee-jerk reaction. I was interested to read that the 7 to 9 members on this committee will come from all different industries, business, okay. Sports, so not culture. All football people? Well, no, it didn't seem to indicate that. Absolutely.
Any police?
Well, no, I don't know. No
lawyers,
police,
judges?
No mafia either, so there'll be no insights there either.
Okay. Corruption or not, I think it's too late for Australia's World Cup bid.
It's all over by
the shouting, and all the committees in the world aren't going to help that now. So,
look, the pretty faces from Australia didn't seem to help as much either. So, we're all out of ideas now, aren't we?
Well, one thing is that does. He knows how to protect his position.
He does. He's a master politician.
So maybe this is another good move by Sepp, for Sepp.
Anyway, we'll move into the meat of the show, and obviously the big story for the week is the Asian Cup coming up this month. The squad's just been announced just before Christmas. It's a very interesting club. It was just after Christmas, 28th, I think they announced it. It's a very interesting squad. A couple of A-League players in there, so obviously Holger differs to Pim in that he thinks a couple of the local guys are worth a go.
Are they worth a go?
Yeah. Oh, I think some of them are. If you have a look at the guys that are being picked, I've got no issues to guys like Robbie Cruz getting a go, even Matt McCart. But yeah, another thing we might have a bit of a talk about is succession planning. Steph, there's a few older guys in the team. What's your thinking behind this?
Oh, goodness, I don't know. The age-old question of age over experience. Look, I'm not really sure. I think we can either look at giving the Asian Cup a red-hot go and going at it with all of our forces, or we can look at it as a training opportunity for our younger guys and giving them a bit of a run.
And plan for
the next World Cup. I mean, we did talk earlier about whether or not we had a realistic chance to take this one away. So perhaps if this isn't going to be our glorious moment, perhaps we do need to give the young legs a bit of a run in order to have a better crack at the World Cup.
So the World Game ran a story today, and they said they were going to rebuild the side after this World Cup, but guys like Harry Kuehl, Lucas Neal, Mark Schwarzer, Brett Emmett, they all put up their hand and said, no, we strongly want to play in this next Asia Cup. We think we can win it. Do you think that's the way to go, or should the FFA have come down hard and said, no, guys, I'm sorry, you've had your time, it's passed, now we want to move forward?
There's a part of me that wants to see those guys have a good crack at it, and it's partly because they were the golden generation, and partly because I believe if we're going to give this competition the respect it deserves, we should go all out to win it. And they are our best players, by a long way as well. It's not like we've got people knocking on the door. Apart from, say, Holman and Wilshere, we're not really got players that are coming through. The other players, Marinovic, Vidicic, Burns, Rukavista, they're playing, well, some of them aren't even playing full-time for their teams. Maybe you could go a bit 50-50 on that and keep some players. I'd like to see Tim Cahill there. I think he's a very, very important player for us. But maybe Emerton, maybe he's had his day. He's a hard-working midfielder. Well, some of them play defence, and he runs up and down that right wing. But maybe we've got players that can, of Emerton's calibre. Neil, Kuehl, do these guys need to stay? How much longer are they going to go for? Kuehl, I don't think his body can hold out from the start.
So, Steph, which way would you go about it? Would you cut everyone that's no chance of playing in the next World Cup and say, sorry, guys, thanks for the career, see you later? Or do you think it's a person-by-person thing where you have to look at each player on his own merits?
Look, I certainly think you have to look at each player and their merits. Perhaps we also look at those players who have commitments at home and maybe put it back to them and say, look, you've got big commitments at home. Not that I want to sound unpatriotic here, but some of them do have very good options. The other thing I would probably do is, split them up into our very good experienced players and our up-and-coming young players, and then take, one or two of our very good experienced players and sort of grade them, in a sense, against themselves and take our better half, and then do the same with our up-and-coming young players. Take our best up-and-coming youngsters and our best experienced players and almost put, the two halves together as one team for the future, as opposed to taking our best and leaving them behind in the World Cup.
But we're keeping Schwarzer, right, until he's like 50?
Right. We're keeping Schwarzer until he's broken that record. He can go on game 88.
I see the issues that they're going to have in picking these teams. The emotional side comes into it.
So, Paddy, was there any player selected in the squad which took your eye or surprised you a little?
Well, the one that was announced recently, Tommy Orr, in for Richard Garcia, it's an interesting one because Gussie has annoyed me for some time. I don't know that he's the right player to have in the Socceroos. I don't believe he brings in a spark. He's just a hard-working player.
I think he keeps getting picked because, like you said, he's a hard-working player and he plays just about every position on the pitch. Yep. So you keep him in the squad. Useful. When someone gets injured, he's you just throw him in there. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I don't see that. That doesn't fill me with hope. That doesn't make me think, right, you know, here's a guy who's going to be in the Socceroos and really do something for the Socceroos. But his replacement, Tommy Orr, he's young, he's inexperienced, and he doesn't get much game time. And I wonder how much use it's going to be having a player like Tommy Orr in there. Is he just along for the ride in order to learn and develop? If that's the case, then he should be identified as such. But I don't think Tommy Orr should be getting any game time in Asia.
Scott McDonald got another run. Kennedy's out. He's injured. So Scott McDonald, assumably, will be starting up front.
Wow. 20 games he's played. So Steph, 20 games he hasn't scored a goal.
20 games he's played he hasn't scored for the Socceroos, but he's really good for his club. He's constantly scoring for his club, Middlesbrough. How long can a guy stay in the team while playing well for his club without scoring? A striker that hasn't scored in 20 games, that's not a good average.
Well, I know, and I hate to go back to the cricket, but, you know, how many times will Ponting and Hussey run out before they get dropped from the squad as well? Look, I don't know. I mean, we can't have 11 Indians and no Chiefs, and we can't have 11 Chiefs and no Indians. So perhaps we need a few of these all-rounders who are just there constantly and consistently and leave the goal scoring to our golden oldies, which we keep saying we need in the team.
Okay, the Harry Kewell, still goals in his legs yet?
Yes.
Tim Cahill?
Yes, that's where indeed. All the
come I'm gonna keep the 11 Indians probably playing for India. But, yeah, look, I'm... You know, every in between tournaments, I sigh heavily and I curse Scott McDonald's good name, but he does score for his club. And then and I say that he shouldn't be in the Socceroos, but then every time I see his name on the squad sheet before a big tournament, I think this is it. It's going to break.
Yeah, me too.
Finally,
they just need to give him a penalty, don't they?
Well, he just needs one, and then it's just going to pour out. So maybe, you know, seeing as we're on the cusp of the Asian Cup, let's have Scott McDonald in. Let's have him break that duck.
And now I want to talk to you, Paddy, briefly about centre-backs. In the 2006 World Cup, we had a great centre-back pairing. We had Craig Moore and Lucas Neal. Yeah. Craig Moore retired shortly after. And yes. Lucas Neal's
he was quite old, wasn't he?
Yeah, so Lucas Neal will have one of the centre-back roles in the Asian Cup. You can take that to the bank. But who's going to play next to him? Pym and Holger have both played a succession of people there.
Yeah.
So many guys have had a crack at trying to make that spot their own. Who have you had? You've had Chris Coyne. You've had Jaden North. You've had McCain. You've had Durante. They've had countless other guys.
The Og Monster.
Yeah, and the Og Monster's the most recent one to come in. So who would you be having next to Lucas Neal for this Asian Cup?
Spiranovic.
You'd have Spiranovic?
Yeah.
The up-and-comer?
Yeah, I would. And it's about he's not a bad player, and I don't think he's I think he's much more experienced than Tommy Orr. Mm-hmm. And so I know that he can play in the midfield. He does play in the midfield a bit. But maybe for Australia, we need that youth. And Spiranovic has some mobility that the Og Monster does not.
And he's really cemented himself at Ural Red Diamond, Spiranovic, as well. He's playing
so,
really well.
And I know that Sasha is a great player, but he's getting on. He's had such success. But I'd like to see Spiranovic in there.
So why would they pick Sasha Oganovsky in the squad as a 31, 32-year-old?
No, I think he's going to play.
If he wasn't going to play.
Yeah, I think he's going to play. I think he's going to be in that centre of defence. And I understand the logic of it, but I fear that he's just going to get cut to ribbons.
We spoke earlier about Robbie Cruse. He's on debut. He's never played for the Socceroos. Mm-hmm. Good young guy coming out of the A-League. Steph is only 19 years old. Like we said, he's had a few disciplinary problems. It's a rapid rise for him, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. But look, it's good to see a couple of the A-League players getting picked.
It is.
You know, hopefully that shows that there's some more strength now in our A-League.
So do you think that's because the league's getting stronger, or do you think it's because we have a coach with a new opinion?
Look, probably a bit of both. You know, I mean, the older the A-League gets and the more, you know, credibility it gets, you know, within the football world, the better players are going to stay at home.
Absolutely. I think you're exactly right.
See, I wonder, and by some I mean myself, have a more cynical view and say that the opinion has been forced upon the coach. He saw that Pim Verbeek really struggled because he was a very honest man. And he told the media exactly what he thought of the A-League and the A-League players and the standard. Whereas I think Oksek is a bit more canny. mm-hmm. and is including, dare I say, cynically, is including token a couple
players.
Of players.
Yeah, token players.
I think okay. so.
And to keep Meteor off his back?
I think so.
Okay.
And cool. But Cruz is, you know, he's young and he is showing potential, so maybe there's something there. And Kalina is definitely, you know, a class player.
Absolutely. Well, he's so, you don't class yeah. him as an A-League player. Well, I don't know.
No, anyway. No, that's exactly right. I don't.
So moving along, as always, time's getting away from us. We're going to talk about Sydney and their coach, Lavixa. There's been a lot of speculation recently that Sydney are on the cusp of getting rid of him. Mm. They brought him in at the beginning of last season. He won them the championship year one. He came in with big raps on his back. He was coach of the year over in the Czech Republic, which are a big football yep. country. And now this year they've had a really poor season and talk about sacking him already. So is that the right way to go, or should they stick with the man they gave the contract to initially?
Sacking him already? He's had a horrendous season.
Okay, well...
Well, are they going to sack him, though?
Let's not say
or are they going to bring in a technical advisor to try and help with some of the off-field strategy?
The old technical director.
Yes, the technical director.
But which coach wants a technical director above them saying, pick this player, don't pick this player? Who's the coach? Surely there's too many cooks spoiling the broth under that kind of system.
Well, yeah, but I don't think the coach has a choice as to who's coming in and in terms of the administration of the club.
No, but the coach just have a choice whether to stick around or not.
Oh, well, that's
yeah.
true. But he might just stick around. See, the other issue is, and it's sad to see, but coaches stick around until they're fired because they get a bigger payout there rather than quitting where they don't necessarily okay. get a big play.
I think I should be a bit more specific. When right. we say sacked, I think his contract's about to expire and whether they should give yep. him another one. So I don't think a payout is an issue.
I think if they haven't done it now, they should stick with him.
Okay.
I'm a believer in stability in a club, and there's also problems with the squad. And you could point the finger and say, okay, that's his problem for not fixing the squad. But this season's gone now. There's no benefit in sacking him to see an upturn in the team's performance and not make the six. Why not? They've gone so far with this. Why not stick with it?
So we've got Central Coast Mariners. They went down to Melbourne Victory. Melbourne Victory really making charge towards the final. Adelaide United went down to Brisbane Roar. We spoke earlier about that in the show. Melbourne Heart 2-0 over strugglers North Queensland Fury. So Melbourne Heart really starting to consolidate that sixth position. Gold Coast United, Perth Glory, nil all. A bit of a Paddy thinks they've turned a corner. I'm not sure about
end
that.
End of a 5-match losing streak. This is it. Sydney for the title.
That's it. And and that's about all we have time for this week, guys. So until next time on the near post, if you're going to the near post,
get there first.
Get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.